Hello, and welcome to 5 Minutes for Earth with your host, Emily Brown.
Hello, I'm Carl Torf. I'm a semi-retired public agency manager.
So this week, we're changing it up a little bit. This topic is just so interesting, and I had so much good content I wanted to cover. I didn't want to cut anything. So instead of 5 Minutes for Earth, this week it's going to be 20-ish minutes for Earth. This topic is just so interesting. I really hope you enjoy. All right, so let's get into the episode. So what is your official title?
Well, I worked for several different public agencies, but most of the time I was the general manager of that agency. And I like to work with the smaller agencies so we had more community contact.
Cool. So how long did you do that type of work?
I did it over 40 years.
Wow.
And I just retired last January.
That's so cool. So where did you do your work?
Well, I started at Auburn Recreation and Park District, right locally here. And then I moved on to the Mendocino Coast area, and then down Southern California in the Apple Valley area, then up to a big city agency in San Jose, and more of a moderate agency in the city of Sunnyvale. And then I spent my last 17 years in semi-retirement working for the Georgetown Divide Recreation District. So that was a nice way to finish it up locally here.
So can you tell us a little bit about what a park designer does?
Well, I didn't do just park design, but I was, as a general manager, I was kind of the liaison. And for a local public agency like Auburn or some of those agencies, I worked a lot with elected boards, appointed commissions, other agencies, state and federal agencies, different community members, and also clubs and all around the community, and finding professional landscape architects that we could work with, that we felt comfortable working with, that were qualified to design the type of land that we had and do the type of plans that we wanted them to do. A lot of the, I had the interaction between the local community and working with the landscape architects and the elected officials, and one of my prime areas was to get grants to pay for all of it.
Awesome. So why are green spaces so important?
Well, I think just the well-being of your inner being.
The well-being of our inner being. So well said.
Is a very important part, that people can have very different experiences in an open space, or they might be in a wooded area, for trails. But every person has that valuable area inside their, inside of them that they need, and the open space and the local parks can help a lot with that, but also local activity areas. So I think it's different for every person, but really helping the emotional and mental well-being of all of the people in our communities.
That's so cool. I completely agree.
Good. I've got one convinced here.
Yeah, so parks and green spaces provide people places to connect with other people, whether it's kids playing at the playground or adults discussing the future of the climate. Parks are essential to our civilization and communication between human beings. Also, there's something to be said for the power of plants. Recent studies have shown that having plants and green spaces nearby can reduce your stress levels, sharpen your attention, can be super therapeutic, and may even help you recover from illness faster. They can brighten your day in a real way. How do green spaces help protect the environment or otherwise promote environmental awareness?
Well, I think it's really a combination of environmental awareness and also protecting the environment. You're holding out open space that's not going to be developed. It's not going to be houses on top of one another. You're planning to make sure there's open spaces that people can be active in and they can share experiences in.
So green space is reserved space. Nothing can be built in that space, and that's conservation for future generations.
But within in the design of the parks, we're very environmentally sensitive, and we do a lot of work in many of the communities with involving some of the school children. Why we're building this water theme park, a small water theme park, and here's how you have to use it, because it will, if you don't use it correctly, it will damage the environment, and here's what it can do. So we use work with the teachers and the science teachers in particular to help educate the kids, not on what we were going to design, but how to use those spaces, and to try and help cut down some of our vandalism, quite frankly, in the parks, so that they got to know what was good and what was not so good behavior in the parks.
What are some examples of environmental features you might include in a park design?
Well, there's all kinds of things. Open space for local park development, a lot of open spaces, you know, for all the sports fields that we have this desire for, to fill all the soccer teams and the baseball teams, softball teams. So you have that desire for those kind of active open space areas. Then you have also some passive open space areas, which might include trails, things like that. And then just getting trees in the area so that you have nice shady area in an open space area that you can just sit and enjoy. Or like in the regional park, you can sit and watch the ducks out there at the regional park and just, again, commune with yourself and that inner being that you have of making peace with yourself and also just enjoying life just a little bit better.
I think this is the perfect time to share with you my favorite quote because it ties into this subject so much. It's from David Attenborough. Here's a quote. "It seems to me that the natural world is the greatest source of excitement, the greatest source of visual beauty, the greatest source of intellectual interest. It is the greatest source of so much in life that makes life worth living." In other words, nature is incredible, and because of green spaces like the ones Carl works on, more people are able to interact with nature, and because of that, they develop a love for it, which in turn makes them want to help the natural world, the environment, our planet.
A couple of the specifics that people were kind of funny is that we were able to bring into a couple of the park agencies was something like pervious concrete. Everybody's concrete, you're bringing concrete into a park, how is that environmentally sound? Well, it's a special kind of concrete, the water flows right through it. And that means you don't have to have all the gutters and the drain pipes and everything, and you can build parks right in a forest better. And if you're going to have those cars interacting with when you need parking spaces. And it also looks like the natural ground because you put color into the pervious concrete, like brown. So it looks like, some people said to me, "When are you going to put the parking lot in?" "It's already in, but it's brown." I said, "Yes, it's colored and it has a pervious nature to it. So the water goes through it. So that's an environmentally sound. So we don't have to manage water runoff. It goes right into the ground and you don't have to do special treatment for the trees and their root system. So that is a big important thing if you need parking into something. So that's my one little tool that you might use if you're designing a park and need parking in that park area. We did a lot of work with drainage ponds also. So you have proper drainage when you need it. You put in ponding basins. Ponding basins can go in for flood control and protecting the environment and flood control things. But during the spring, that can also be a nice soccer field for open play areas. You just design it appropriately. It can serve two purposes like that. Also, there's a great, in the bigger parks, the state parks, and I've worked on some of the federal parks also, as a local representative, so that some of the trail systems that can go in, they have to be designed very, very carefully, because otherwise people get off trail and they damage the landscape, and then therefore, when it gets to be winter time, the water starts running down those trails and eating out the environment and also then felling trees and things that you really don't want to happen. So there's a lot of little detail that you hire those landscape architects to bring to you, and you work with the community to not only know why we're building it this way, but then you can help them use it in appropriate ways, and they can then pass that knowledge on to the other members of the community.
How can people help support their local parks and ensure green spaces are available for everyone to enjoy?
There's a lot of it is based on the government, unfortunately. The government, and I've worked for the government all of my years, but there's a lot of master planning that goes on in the public agents, whether it be a city or a park and recreation district, and also then counties have planning efforts in its land use part. So where are we going to have the industrial areas? Where are we going to have the parks? If this housing development goes in, there are state regulations that say that if this housing development goes in and it's this size, this many bedrooms, then they have to provide so much open space, and they have to pay to improve that open space so it's usable open space for that subdivision or housing development. And that's something people don't really realize, but they need to stay on top of the planning efforts that are going on at the state, the county, and the city's levels, so they know what's going to be happening in and around them. I was born and raised in Auburn, and wow, the regional park was never even thought of. It was out in the boondocks out there. Oh, we got to drive all the way out there for a regional park? We're never going to get any sports teams to go out there. Nobody will walk around that park. Well, guess what? It's one of the most active parks in Placer County. So if you have to keep your eye open on what's happening around you and in your city and in your community, and there's ways to go into the planning departments, the park and recreation departments, community and in community planning when he's doing parks work. And that board of directors is elected, and they stay right on top of the county and the state agencies. So they work very, very well with all of those agencies. And that's a point that you're into, really into the parking area, park planning area. But the other ways are in the operation of the parks. And I know your environmental committee recently had a cleanup day. We've had a couple of them, in fact. And that's cleaning up park areas, cleaning up trail areas. Cleaning up a park is really an important thing. And that's also an educational tool that we can help with our high school students, our junior high students, our elementary school students, so they can see how a park can really look nice, how it can work very well. And I think that's something that we can do. You know, a very vocal area. Sometimes there's a little park development project. You might put in a sandbox. You might put in this, might put in that. There's a lot of environmental rules in the state of California, but volunteers can still get involved in helping develop parks and putting different features in parks.
Wow, that's so cool. We actually just had a cleanup today, and it makes me feel so good that you agree. It's really helpful.
Yeah, it is. You know, people think, oh my goodness, you know, we just can't clean up everything. You're right, you can't keep clean up everything. But the public agencies can't do it too. There's got to be a lot of education built in and partnerships with education and schools. That's why you see a lot of schools and parks are designed together, so that some of the open space right next to the school and some of the playground areas right next to the school are used by both park people and also school students, which really, depending upon the time of day, they can be on both sides of that fence. So those are some of the things that can happen. And I've always really enjoyed my career. And people say, oh, you have to go to work. I said, no, I get to go to work. Because it does become something that you really enjoy, and you can see your community coming together on projects, and you see a lot of smiles and happiness out in the parks and the open spaces.
So yeah, go spend some time in nature and support local parks and national parks in any way you can. Donations are a really great way to help, as well as participating in cleanups like the ones we were chatting about. Go spend some time in nature. It'll open your mind and enjoy life more. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It really was so nice talking to you.
I enjoyed it, and thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
come back next week for a brand new episode. This has been 5 Minutes for Earth with your host, Emily Brown, brought to you by the Placer High School Environmental Club. Please take a moment to visit our website, linked in the show notes, or follow us on Instagram at Placer_environmental_club. As always, all the information presented in this podcast is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much to all of you who are listening to our podcast, sharing it, writing reviews, and supporting us. Together, we are really making a difference, and that's just so cool. Please take a moment to write a review on our podcast or share it. It really helps us out, and every week we read reviews at our club meetings, and it's just so nice to hear that people like our content. Thank you. A big thank you to all club members as well. See you next week. Bye.